Very good. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 11 and Genesis 12. And any children, you can be dismissed at this time. God bless you. God bless you. Incidentally, not in conjunction with knowing we'd show this today, I wanted to minister this morning on living by faith. And it's not something that we graduate from, but it's a daily choice, as we prayed earlier. But Abraham, as we know, is the father of faith, and we are of Abraham. Therefore, we are of that lineage of faith, and we're called to walk in the faith of Abraham. How many of y'all grew up as a little child singing about Father Abraham had many sons? Any of y'all? Well, we're those sons. In other words, we're of the family of faith. And so this call that came to Abraham was a bit unorthodox. You may feel like your calling to serve God is a bit unorthodox. You may feel like the Hebrew children living in Babylon, and you're like, where in the world is their application for my faith in a mocking, cynical culture that just doesn't have time for that, or won't regard the truths of God's word? And so here you have God approaching Abraham, and he doesn't give him an exhaustive description of what he wants him to do, but he gives him enough to embark on the journey. In Genesis 12, it reads, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you.'" So even there, he hasn't yet qualified what the land is, but he's like, look, I'll tell you when you need to know. Right now, I'm asking you to get up, move, and start moving. How many of you know that without a clear destination, the murkiness could dampen many of us? But there was a word here that God clearly gave Abram. He went on to say, verse 2, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So what did he do? Verse 4, "So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, the people they had acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, if we could. We pick this up in the New Testament. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, which honors all the patriarchs and the matriarchs of old that by faith did exploits. They were all commended because of their faith. They weren't commended because of their pedigree. They weren't commended because of their good ideas. They weren't commended because of this, that, or the other. But their faith moved God. Therefore, God moved mightily on their behalf. So this is a commendation of the people of faith. Obviously, Abraham, the father of faith, would be listed among this number. But in Hebrews 11, picking up in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham," matter of fact, let's read this out loud together. If you don't have an NIV 1984, you can just read the screen. Let's read this out loud together. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Amazing. All due to faith. So you hear this phrase in Hebrews 11, "By faith, Abraham did such and such." And then it'll go down a few more sentences. By faith, Abraham, da-da-da-da. A few more sentences. Again, by faith, Abraham, et cetera, et cetera. And going back to verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, did what? Obeyed and went. Obeyed and went. There was no ambiguity in God's call. How many of you like me, sometimes you've heard a word from the Lord, but yet your head pleads confusion? It's like, I need to know a little more. And you're like, all right, God, you're going to have to clarify that. All right, now, wait a minute. And all of a sudden the voice comes and it goes. And it doesn't mean that God won't come in a confirming way to declare it again and again for confirmation. And God, in his grace, he does confirm. But it's interesting. When he called, it says he obeyed and he went. But the latter part of verse 8 just blows me away. I mean, this is an amazing passage here. It says he obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. You ever felt like you didn't know where you're going? But yet you felt like you had some semblance of this is God's will. Some sense of leading. Some sense of direction. I know this may appear to be illogical, but yet I feel God in it. And even though popular culture is pushing back and cutting against the grain of that, yes, but I have just a sense that God is in this. He did not know where he was going. This was not an ignorant man. This was not an arbitrary, random man. This was a man of means who had properties and means and responsibilities. You don't just uproot and go on about your business arbitrarily. Didn't know where he was going. Amazing to me. Now, normally someone might reason, okay, you roll out the whole plan, you roll out the 5, 10, 15, 20 year strategic, well thought out plan, then okay, I'll obey maybe. I mean, even then, even with the absoluteness of clarity, it doesn't guarantee that someone will follow. I remember running into that as a Duke minister, having to use apologetics many times because many of the Duke students weren't from the South, the Bible Belt, coming from the North. I couldn't just say, well, the Bible says. I'd have to use creation, the conscience, common sense, logic, reason. But many times you would hear someone say, well, if I merely saw something, I would obey. And I'd say, no, even if Jesus himself were to appear to you now, you would still even then have to make a moral choice to follow him. Because he did appear physically 2,000 years ago. There were certainly the multitudes that followed him. And then there were those who shunned him, mocked him, and wanted to kill him. So even if you had everything in a nice little box, it would still boil down to your will. Will I choose to follow him? And again, the same is true today, where others may say, you show me and I might possibly do it. You know, it's interesting how many times we fight for our supposed rights to understand everything. How many of you know sometimes in the paradigm of faith, he just won't show you everything? But we fight for our rights, especially left-brain, logical, linear-thinking men. I want to understand. I want the case argued out before I embark. I want it all in a little nice box. Well, God in his sovereignty intentionally won't put everything in a nice box so that he might pull us out to trust him on the little part that we know is true. And it's like, well, I appreciate the little part, but I need A, B, C, D, and E. God would say, well, I'm not giving you A, B, C, D, and E. I'm giving you this. Well, I appreciate that, but I'm giving you this. I'm pulling you out. So you see, faith is trust. Faith is confidence in God, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So Abraham didn't yet see it, but he was looking following, anticipating, obeying. And it pleased God. A 10-year strategic thinker would think that he was one card short of a full deck. You know, hey, boy, if his dad was still alive, son, where are you going? Oh, I'm packing it up. My herds of camels, my flocks, all of my laborers, my household servants, da-da-da-da. We're taking a little trip. Well, great, son, where are you going? Don't know, dad. Now, any logical dad would say, boy, you know, what's got up in you? He didn't know where he was going. It may not have been logical to biological dad, but the heavenly dad was pleased because he went and he obeyed with imperfect information. We say, you show it to me, I'll stand on it. God's going, no, I'm going to give you this. This is enough for the moment. Be faithful with this. We're trying to be ruler over much. And God's going, no, you be faithful here and we'll deal with that later. He didn't yet see, but yet he anticipated. He followed nonetheless. For you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is what delineates a false community of faith or a false premise of Christianity is it really is a walk of faith. When you got saved and committed your heart to the Lord, it was by faith that you bear witness, I am a son of God. There's no paper or document or certificate or degree that gives validation that you belong to Him. But in your heart of hearts, I know I'm a son of God and you can't take it away from me. I have this assured witness in my heart. I know that I know I'm born from above. How do you know? I just know. How do you know? In my knower. I know that sounds ridiculous. I know it's subjective, but it's real and it's authentic and it's substantive. How many of y'all refuse to let someone take away your identity and your inheritance in the Lord, even though argue though they may? You just know it. Our man Abe, he didn't know where he was going. This did not follow into the lines again of strategic thinking and planning. For you see, the way of faith is unusual. It's even odd by some's estimation. By faith, Noah built an ark. He stood alone in this endeavor. Unusual. He saw what others could not and would not see. Rain? Are you kidding? It's never happened before. Oh, incidentally, what is it? Pack it up. We're going to get on a big boat, bring them in 2x2, fixing to rain. Okay. Question, what's rain? Culture goes on tilt when people say, I'm just going to follow God. They're like, where's the empirical evidence? I have it in creation. I have it upon my conscience. I see it in the Word of God. I have enough testimony in my rearview mirror to know that I know God is real and He does right by those who come to Him and believe that He'll reward those that earnestly seek Him. Noah obeyed God. See, faith deals with things not yet seen. And that's why everyone cannot just live this life, because they refuse to go the way of faith. Faith deals with things not yet seen. Verse 7 of chapter 11, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Can we say that together? About things not yet seen. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. These are strange characters. Abraham heard a call, said yes, and did not know where he was going. Noah had never experienced or even heard of rain, yet built a boat. Wow, this is an odd way to live. But consider that the very world and universe in which we live, how it came to pass. Verse 3, by faith, We understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible, but invisible. So the invisible, the not seen, faith created the visible. Therefore, is the invisible beholding to the visible, or is the visible beholding to the invisible? Which came first? Matter, something, was created out of nothing when God said, "Let there be light." God created something out of nothing. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We do not see. Abraham was clueless where he was going. Noah had never before had any experience of rain. I love Hebrews 3 in the Message translation. It reads, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going. He did know where he was called. That was enough substance for him. So he stepped out into his calling, not by sight, but by faith. We are Abraham's seed, called to be the same people of faith, the same faith of Abraham. Now, if I had constructed this, I would have wired it a little bit differently. God in his sovereignty has chosen faith as the mechanism whereby he's pleased by us. And he's going to give us something to stand on, but he has to define the terms. He has to be the one in control. We live by what we believe, not by what we can see. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is crucial for our life in God, and it's just the way it works. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he walked by faith anyway. Why did he do it? How could he do it? He had a promise. Big part of the equation. He had a promise. Remember back in Genesis 12 when he said, Abram, leave your country, leave your family, go to the land that I will show you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, Abram wasn't looking for that. He was certainly up in years. And so biologically, it didn't make sense. He had everything around him. He was fully established in a good life as he knew it. He didn't want to be disturbed, didn't want to be uprooted, certainly. Certainly, he didn't want a call that the blanks weren't filled in, and that just frustrates us, doesn't it? When the blanks aren't filled in, God says, I want you to move. All right, but tell me how it's going to, I just want you to move. But God, and he said, just trust me. So, you know, it wasn't his natural propensity to want to do this, but he had a promise. He did have a promise. Let me ask you today, let's ask ourselves, do we have a promise? Although not yet seeing, are we walking in it? You know, pioneers are unusual people. Anyone can settle. The very word visionary means one who sees what's not yet. That's thus what constitutes vision. The ability to see what's not seen. That makes one a visionary. Taking nothing but seeing all that God can do with a little movement in his direction. And again, looking for empirical evidence and science and everything to be objectively spelled out, we're not always going to do that, but we have a promise. But we have a promise. Visionary means one who sees what's not yet. Everything first starts with an idea, an image, a promise. Then creation eventually happens, but it happens out of nothing. God started with nothing, and he spoke. When he spoke light, Light came into existence. Everything was void. There was nothingness. And he created out of his intention. How does nothing result in something? Starts with a promise. And many times when that promise comes, usually there's nothing. Usually God doesn't give a promise when everything is building up to that promise. Usually the promise comes because there's nothing that would reflect that there's any semblance of reality to that. Therefore, he gives a promise. You don't see it now. It's not manifested yet. It's not reality yet, but I'm giving you a promissory note. I'm giving you earnest down payment on what's to come. I'm giving you my word. And the Bible says if we would take the word of a human, of a man, how much more the word of God, creator. So it starts with the promise when there's nothing. Then faith in the promise, not faith in our faith, but faith in the promise. And then in steps God, the creator, to fulfill the promise. So you have nothing, and then you have faith in the promise, and then all of a sudden, something out of nothing. How do we get from nothing to something? Faith in the promise took us there, and it created it. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he had a promise. You start with that. I start with that. Others have said, and I know Dr. Martin Luther King also coined this phrase, quote, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Strategic planners, my dad was a corporate planner. He would look 10 years down the road in the bank that he was a part of. Our logic would say, you show me the staircase and I'll begin. God says, I'm giving you two steps. And he turns the lights off on the rest of what it looks like. And we're going, follow me here. Faith pleases him. Faith pleases him. Not knowing all the answers, the full picture, doesn't preclude one from taking the first step. And if we're a fool, then we're God's fool. But he doesn't make fools. He raises up sons and daughters. He raises up men and women of valor that he backs and that he endorses when we take the risk to follow him. Ray Barnett, visionary, founder of the African Children's Choir. Elizabeth and I were having dinner with him one evening. And he's quite the Renaissance man. What he's done with the African Children's Choir, and that's been going on now for about 27, 28 years, that's just one of many endeavors. I mean, he's quite the individual. He's gone on these amazing reconnaissance missions and has been in closed nations. He was an orphan himself, so he has been a deliverer of men all of his life. I mean, his resume is quite weighty. But we were just talking in a casual way, and then it was almost out of nowhere, he just kind of got an idea. It's kind of that ethereal, all of a sudden the head turns, you know, point. And he just out of nowhere, he said, you know, he said, open doors are everywhere. Open doors are all around us. But people won't go through them because they can't see the next step. Open doors are everywhere. He said, they're all around. But most people won't go through because they can't figure out what the next steps will look like. See, what we don't realize is that as we move in the first three steps, then there's illumination for the next three. So, aha. And then we move in the next three, and there's enough illumination for the next seven. Then we move in the next, and all of them say, oh, okay. Okay. But see, if we never take the first one, our hands are falling like, God, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Why aren't you showing it? Why don't you reveal it? I don't know. And we stay here the whole time.